The title of the message is Double Camps. Two camps. Double camps. Okay, so let me go to the text. Genesis chapter 32, verses 1 and 2. Genesis 32, verses 1 and 2 reads, "So Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, 'This is God's camp.' And he called the name of that place Mahanaim." Mahanaim is the, which means double camps, two camps. So let me set the context. You will remember that Jacob ran from his brother because his brother wanted to kill him after he stole his birthright and his blessing. Rebekah said, "Go to my brother Laban in Padanaram. Get yourself a wife." So here's Jacob. He done worked for Laban for 20 years. He's got four wives, 11 children, cattle, sheep. He's got male servants, female servants. He's got all this. And now, because God told him, go back now, go back home after 20 years. He says, "And I'm going to bless you there." So Jacob gets up and he's on his way back home. That's the context. And when we come to Genesis 32 and 1, we read, "So Jacob went on his way." So he's obeying God. He's going back home. And while he is going back home, the angels of God met him. Hallelujah. I love this. Because, let me make sure I stick to my notes so I don't forget anything. But so I want you to see that as Jacob being a covenant man in covenant relationship with God, God sent him home and he's being obedient going back home. And the angels of God met him. You and I are covenant people. And when we're walking in obedience with God, guess what? The same God who sent angels to meet Jacob will send angels on your behalf. You say, "Will I see him?" Can't guarantee it. I'll show you from the scripture. The angels showed up. People didn't even see them because you can't see them all the time. It's not there. You know, they're not there to show themselves to you unless God tells them to. Right. So let me share this, that, you know, all throughout the Old Testament, not only do we see double camps, and I'm going to explain that a little bit more in a second. But all throughout the Old Testament and into the New, we see repeated appearances of God using angels on the behalf of his people. Jacob, at the end of his life, in Genesis 48, when he was about to bless the two sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, he says this. Jacob said this in Genesis 48:15: "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day." Good man, you could say that. I could say that. Because he's truly been my shepherd from the day he rescued me to this day. He has led me. He's led you. He says, "This God who has led me all my life long," he says, "the angel who has redeemed my life from all evil." The angel who has redeemed my life from all evil. Now, let's get one thing straight. I am not preaching this so that you can go want to see an angel. Please know that. Listen, I've seen two angels. Let me tell you what. You know what it does for you? Absolutely nothing. Okay, so let's get that out the way. Because I'm going to tell you who you were made to see. I'm going to tell you were made to see. You were made to see Jesus. Okay, that's who we want to see, right? That's who we're going to see. But he uses his messengers, his angels, and he used them in the life of Jacob. So angels were always quite active in the Old Testament. They appeared to Abraham, they appeared to Hagar, they appeared to Jacob. I mean, they appeared to Jacob quite a bit. You know, remember, he wrestled with a man in this same passage of scripture. The man, capital M man, the angel of the Lord, Jacob wrestled with him and he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and he limped. But before this, remember Jacob saw, had a dream with a ladder, Jacob's ladder with angels walking on it, you know. Abraham had visions of angels. And in Genesis 18, the Lord came to him and says, hey, we're about to go over here to Sodom and Gomorrah. What do you think? Yeah, the angel showed up to Abraham. But then it didn't stop. All throughout the Old Testament, the scripture says that the Lord was with Joseph. Never mention an angel appearing to Joseph, but that the Lord was with Joseph when he was in the prison. Amen. When he was in the dungeon. But not only there, remember angels came and showed up to Lot. Okay. Lot wasn't even the covenant man. Abraham was. But because of his relationship to Lot, God sent angels to deliver Lot from danger and from trouble. And in most of these cases, not all, but in most of them, the angel showed up to deliver God's people, right? And so they delivered Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. And a couple of instances where mentions of angels, but not seen, when Abraham told his servant to go take a wife, Genesis 24, to go take a wife for his son Isaac, his servant said, perhaps if the woman won't go with me, then Abraham said this, the God whom I serve, he will send his angel before you. He's going to take and you're going to get a wife for my son. Here, Abraham, hello. Some people like to dispatch angels. I don't believe that, by the way. You know, some folk be like, I dispatch angels. Hello. Come on, man. You can't even dispatch yourself. Come on. Lord, don't get me started. I'm not even going to go there. These preachers preaching this nonsense. Oh, my goodness. You can't even take care of your own mind. You telling me you're going to tell God what to do with his angels? Please, man. No. Mm-mm. No. So, but the angels were present there. Daniel said this when he was in the lion's den. The king said, oh, Daniel, was your God able to deliver you from the lions? Daniel said, live forever, O king. He said, the Lord has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. Daniel didn't say he saw the angel. He just said, the Lord has sent his angel and shut the mouth of the lions. Now, maybe he saw it. Maybe he didn't. We don't know. But we see, and I'm just bringing this to light simply because the scripture says the angels of God met Jacob. Notice what it didn't say. It didn't say that Jacob met the angels of God. Because Jacob wasn't looking for the angels of God, nor could he. Because we don't determine when they show up. The angels met Jacob. Just like the angels met me in Fair Oaks Mall. While we're shopping, you say, brother, I don't believe that. Ooh, ain't nobody asking you to believe it. I know what happened. Look here. I know what happened. Hey, just like when Peter was in prison and the angel come and smacked him on the side of the leg. Wake up. Put on your clothes. Put your shoes on. We're getting up out of here. Peter thought he was in a vision. He thought he was dreaming. And he goes out and he gets outside and the angel disappears. And then Peter comes to himself and says, oh, no, this is no trance. This happened for real. The Lord has sent his angel and delivered me from all the expectation of the Jews, the scripture says. But it didn't stop there. The angel of the angels showed up. You remember that when Moses in Exodus chapter 3, he saw a bush burning. But it wasn't being consumed. He saw it on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. That was the angel of the Lord, what we would term the pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ, or Christophany, or Theophany, however you want to term it. The angel of the Lord. It was the angel who delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. Not only that, but when Balaam tried to curse Israel, remember Balak hired Balaam to curse Israel, and Balaam went with the people, and God told him not to. And what did Balaam see? Well, Balaam didn't see it. The donkey saw it. The donkey going, hee-haw, hee-haw. And he looked up, and the donkey said, oh, no, we ain't having this. I'm going this way. The donkey saw the angel. He saw the angel. Joshua saw an angel in Joshua chapter 5. Remember, they're standing outside of Jericho, and Joshua sees a man standing opposite him, and he says, are you for us or for them? He said, neither. But as commander of the Lord of hosts have I now come. Joshua took off his shoes and got down on the ground because that was the angel of the Lord. That was the Christ himself. Say, no, I'm the captain of the Lord's hosts, and I've just taken over. This is what I'm going to tell you what's about to happen, right? In all of these instances, what we're seeing are double camps, two camps. You say, what are you talking about? Explain in a second. But it didn't stop there. In the Old Testament, remember Gideon threshing wheat in the winepress, Judges chapter 6. And the angel of the Lord shows up to him and says, hail, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon like, who? You talking about me? I'm a coward. I'm scared of these Midianites. I'm running from them. But what are you talking about? He said, God uses people who are afraid. My hand right there. Yeah, I haven't known. You ever been scared in your life? Without doubt, without question. A lot of people in Ukraine and Russia scared too. But God will use them too. The angel showed up to Samson's parents. The angel showed up to David. Matter of fact, he was about to destroy Jerusalem, had his sword stretched out over Jerusalem. And David had to offer up an offering to appease that angel. And so all throughout the Old Testament, we see the angels who are coming. Well, here's Jacob, and he's going on his journey back home, and the angels of God met him. Why is this important? Well, it's important because Jacob is about to have a meeting with Esau. Jacob is about to have a meeting with Esau. But before his meeting with Esau, he was met by the angels of God. I'm going to tell you the way I told the first church. Some of us have a meeting scheduled. Some of us have some things that we're maybe not too sure about. We got to have a meeting. We meet with someone and we're kind of scared or maybe a little apprehensive, not knowing what to expect. Just like Jacob had a meeting with his brother. He didn't know if his brother was going to try and kill him to get revenge, but he was afraid, Jacob was. But the same God who sent the angels to meet Jacob is the same God who will send angels to meet you, seen or unseen. So now what we see here is we see Jacob in verse 2, and it says, when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's camp. This is God's camp. Now, Jacob had a camp. It was his wives, his children, all of his livestock. That was his camp. But when he saw the angels, he said, that's God's camp. So there was his camp and God's camp, two camps, double camps. Double camps. Now, I'm saying all this to tell you this, that each one of us, we live in a state of double camps. The problem is that we don't always recognize it. We don't always realize it. But the angel showed up in Jacob's life to let him know this. You are not alone, Jacob. Jacob, I know you're scared of your brother Esau. I know you're apprehensive. I know you're confused, you're questioned, you don't know what to expect. And so God sent his angels to be there with Jacob. It doesn't record if the angels said anything. Why? Because they didn't need to say anything. What was the purpose of the angels showing up? The purpose was to reveal to Jacob, you are not alone. There are two camps. Jacob said, this is Mahanaim. Two camps. Hallelujah. Now, we see this all throughout Scripture. Okay. The purpose of the angels coming to Jacob was revelation. It was to reveal to him that he was not alone, right? So in 2 Kings chapter 6, we all know the passage of Scripture well. It was where Elisha was surrounded by the Syrian army, and his servant gets up in the morning and goes out and sees the city of Dothan surrounded by the Syrian army. He said, alas, master, what shall we do? And Elisha said, don't be afraid, because there are more that be with us than are with them. Hello. And Elisha's servant said, one, two. How he get that? How does he? And then Elisha prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes. The scripture says the mountains around about Elisha were full of horses and chariots of fire all around about Elisha. There were two camps present. There was Elisha and his servant and the Syrians. And then there was a second camp that far outnumbered their camp, double camps. double camps. Elisha knew it, but his servant couldn't see it. We right now live with double camps all the time. But we don't recognize, we don't pay attention to it. We lean upon our own circumstances, upon our own strength. I got this, God, just wait a second. That's how we do. And then we wonder, well, how come that didn't work out the way? So, I shared with you, I don't know if I shared with Nova, so I shared with them. But I'll just revert to the story again of the two Catholic women when I went into their house and I couldn't clean the carpet because the house was tore up. And I said to the Lord in my spirit, you know how you talk to God, even when I'm talking to somebody, I'd be talking to God when I'm talking to them. It doesn't matter who I'm talking. I'd be talking to my wife, my children, no matter who I'm talking to. I'm saying, Lord, I can be. So when I saw this house, I said, Lord, it is apparent to me that I'm not here to clean this carpet today. Because look at this house. This is not happening. An hour later, I'm praying with these women to receive Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And one woman, as I prayed, said, what is this? She said, oh, what is this? I says, this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. I said, that's the Holy Ghost, my dear sister. And they went on loving God, went on about the business. I haven't seen them. Have I seen them since? I don't think I've seen them since. But what happened was, when it became clear to me that it was a double camp, when I saw that I wasn't cleaning carpet, and I saw through our sharing, through talking about Christ, that God had actually determined that circumstance to work out the way it did for those women to come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Double camps. Me and God. They used to always say back in the day, one man and God are a majority. You ever heard that saying? Yeah, they used to say that all the time. I hear it growing up as a young Christian. Well, God was doing something there, and my eyes weren't open to it until a certain point. Just like this servant in 2 Kings chapter 6. But make no mistake about it, there's always two camps. Always two camps. So we see another instance in 2 Samuel chapter 5. When David was fighting the Philistines, in the first instance, he prays, he inquires of the Lord, and the Lord, David says, shall I go up against them? And God said, go up, for I shall surely deliver them into your hand. So David goes and he defeats the Philistines, and he gets a victory. The next year, the Philistines come out again, and David says, shall I go up? Shall I go up to them? Will you deliver them into my hand? And God said, no, don't go up. And here is an opportunity just to share that, you know, why did God say, no, don't go up the way you did the last time? And the reason for that is that human beings like formulas. Lord, just show me how to do it. Then I don't need you anymore. I have the formula. That God's like, that's not happening. Not going to work that way. That's why when Gideon had all these people in his war, you know, he raised up this army of 32,000, 33,000 people. And the Lord says, you have too many people. Hold on, Lord. What do you mean? Well, yeah, you have too many people. And then God laid out his reasoning. He said, because if you win with that amount of people, this is because God knows us. I'm telling you, church, look, read your Bible and see yourself. Read your Bible and see yourself. God says, if you win this battle with those amount of soldiers, you're going to say you did it. Isn't that what we do? Isn't that what TikTok is all about? Look at me. Come on now. It's all about us. God said, no. Who you save? Who did you save? Nobody, Lord. Thank you. Who is it about? It's all about you. Yes, keep it real. Keep it straight. We need to glorify Jesus, church. Come on. And God told Gideon, no, I'm not going to deliver you with 32,000. He whittled it down to 300. God said, that's perfect. Perfect. Go, Gideon. Gideon like, 300? I'm not going to win a war with 300 people, God. God said, I'll show you. Just listen to me. And even after that, they still worshiped Gideon. They still went off. Gideon made an image and the people worshiped. It was crazy. Anyhow, God does not give us formulas. Because we would work the formula and worship the formula and forget God. So God said to David, he said, circle around behind them and you're going to go up over by the mulberry trees. Matter of fact, let me read it. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord. He said, you shall not go up, circle around behind them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. Now, I don't know about you. I've heard, war defense strategies before. I have never heard anything like that. Go around behind them and come up in front of the mulberry trees. Anybody like mulberries? Yeah, I like to eat them. But listen at what God says. And it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly, for then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. In other words, when you hear the tops of the mulberry trees rustling, God said, that's your sign that the Lord's camp, they have gone out. Then when they go out, you go out, because you know who's really going to win this battle, right, David? The Lord's camp is. Yeah, you on the ground, but the Lord's going to get it done. Two camps. And God was telling Jacob, there's two camps here. Now, my prayer for us is simply this, to realize that. To realize that. Listen, there's no place you go where he isn't already present. He's standing in your Monday now. He's standing in your next. He's standing in 2023, 24, 25. So when he says, be of good cheer, in the world you should have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. When he says, listen, don't worry about that. He's not telling you and hoping that what he's saying come to pass. That's what we do. No, when he tells you don't worry about 2024, he is standing in 2024 and telling you don't worry about it because I've got you. I'm God. Lord Jesus. Oh, so here is Jacob worrying about this meeting that he has to have with Esau. And God comes and his angels meet him. That's the meeting. The meeting with the angels is the meeting that would determine how the meeting with Esau would come out. Hello. So God preempted all of his fears. God preempted all of his worries. All the things that he was all anxious about. That's why we have Philippians 4:5. Come on, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God knows that we worry about things. He knows that we're concerned. God, what are we going to do? Listen, there are Christians in Ukraine right now crying out to God. Crying out to God. There are Christians. I've already heard stories of miracles of people being delivered in Ukraine. I mean, absolute miracles. That if God didn't do it, it couldn't happen. Literally couldn't happen. Heard the same thing in Afghanistan. People getting out of Afghanistan when that whole thing was going down. I shared with you a few months ago, a neighbor, a real good, been cleaning her carpet for 20 years at least. And she lived down in Springfield. She said, Pat, I got a friend across the street. She needed a carpet clean. She'll be calling you. I said, cool, that's fine. I go over to that woman's house a few months ago, and it was the one I told you where this Catholic woman, we spent 2 hours talking. And at the end, she's in a Bible study and all. I said, do you really want to know God? She says, oh, please. And I pray with her. She right there received Christ as her Lord and Savior. And the countenance of her entire face changed. I mean, this woman had a gnarled, kind of tight. She was a lawyer. And we were talking about everything. And she told me all about, her husband, her step family. We talked about everything. But she didn't know God. God was drawing her. But she didn't know God. Listen, when we prayed, after we prayed, that woman's, when Jesus said, come unto me, all that ye that labor and are heavy laden, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, and you will find rest for yourself. When that woman, I told her, I said, ma'am, you need to look in the mirror. I said, ma'am, your whole countenance has changed. Now, I couldn't say, I don't know what happened, because I know exactly what happened. But she literally changed in front of my eyes. I was like, wow, Lord. Whew. Glory to God. Well, what was that situation? It was the two camps. I was there, but so was the Holy Spirit. So was the angel of God. So was the working of God. And there's no place that you and I go where God doesn't go with us. There's no place that we go where he isn't already there present. Excuse me. And our job, our goal is to, in every situation, find out what is the will of God and to get on board with it. Hello? Father, what do you want here? I pray every morning before I go to work. Father, I thank you that you've gone before me. Every person I meet today, Lord, you already met with, Lord, every circumstance you already know. Now, Lord, please, I just want to do your will. I just want to get there and say what you want me to say, do what you want me to do, because you are worthy of all the glory and all the praise, for you created all things, and without you is not anything made that is made. So this whole thing is about Jesus. All of this, it all is about Jesus. Ukraine doesn't belong to Russia. It belongs to Jesus. Russia belongs to Jesus. This whole thing, my job, your vocation, every word in our mouth, every breath that we're about to breathe belongs to Jesus. Therefore, what ought we to be doing with all of our existence? Glorifying Jesus, glorifying God. If what I'm doing does not glorify God, I need to stop doing it. Because he created us for his glory. Psalm 8 says that you created man and crowned him with glory and honor to magnify and glorify his great name. So we see this two camps all throughout scripture. And Acts, I was telling the other church, I'm reading through the book of Acts, and recently read where the Paul was arguing with the chief priests and the Jews, the same people who killed Jesus, essentially, Ananias. He was arguing with them and saying that, no, Jesus is alive. Jesus resurrected from the dead. And they said, you know what, we're going to kill this man. Think about that, religious folk. Kind of remind you of some religious folk today. You'd be running around, oh, we're going to kill you. That's right, yeah. And so they said, we're going to kill Paul. But the Lord stood next to Paul and said, fear not, Paul, as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must give witness at Rome. And Paul, God kept Paul all up until the time of that testimony. Two camps. God was present in his life, leading and orchestrating every detail of his life, because if God didn't, the Jews would have annihilated Paul. Paul would have been dead. When he first got saved, they tried to kill him. In Acts chapter 9, they tried to kill him. They let him over a wall in a basket, and he escaped. Well, at the end of his life, they're still trying to kill him. But God had determined that he would live because Paul understood two camps, double camps. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, he said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He told the people, put on the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, right? He said, after you put on the whole armor of God, and then after you've done all to stand. Then he said this, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the belt of truth. Paul understood that we are living in two camps. It's always been that way. You might say it's the physical and the spiritual. Some people don't believe there are any such thing. The Sadducees didn't believe that angels existed. Paul was a Pharisee. He believed that angels existed, right? But there's always been two camps, and Paul said that you need to be dressed to operate in both. And what Paul said we need, the world says we don't need. Paul said, gird yourself with truth. Put on a breastplate of righteousness. Listen, as much as it lies with you, obey the laws, do what you ought to be doing. There are plenty of quote-unquote Christians who say today, doesn't matter how Clinton lived, doesn't matter what he did with Monica, doesn't matter what Trump did and what he did with all of us, and I say to both Democrats and Republicans and independents, y'all crazy, okay? That's not Bible. It does matter how you live. It matters how you live. It matters before God, because How does it matter? Because if you're not walking with God, if you're not living the way he wants you to live, guess what? You will go only for so long, but you're going to come crashing down. You're going to come crashing down. So Jacob now is fearing, and God reveals to him, Jacob, I'm with you. I've sent my angels to be with you. Do not be afraid. And the way it was then with Jacob is the way it is now with you and I. Now, should I read the text or can you just share it? You gonna read it? I'll read it then. Does it? Steve sent me this text earlier. He said, I think I told you about this before, but was thinking about this incident involving Ames Boarding School in Kenya, the Rift Valley Academy. While you were teaching earlier in 1952 at the beginning, quote, in 1952 in the beginning of the Mau Mau emergency, a contingency of African Home Guard under the command of a British officer named Chips were stationed on campus along with a barbed wire fence. Saturday, March 28, 1953, is one of the Rift Valley Academy's greatest stories. It was clear the Mau Mau was raiding in the area several days before the town of Lari had been burned, and the RVA was the next target. So this school was the next target on the list. All went to bed sure they would be awakened by gunfire in the night. The staff prayed for God's protection, and the attack never happened. Months later, when several Mau Mau were captured, they said they were on their way to attack the mission station, but were prevented from doing so by the large number of soldiers that surrounded the campus. Historical record shows that the only British soldier anywhere near Kijabe that night was Chips. It was only one soldier in the entire area. Yet they saw a huge mass of soldiers. They saw a great number of soldiers. God sent his angels to protect the school. He sent his angels to protect the school. When I was living in Northeast D.C., there was a white missionary, heavyset woman, would come up into Dick Street, Clay Terrace, look here. This is a rough spot. I rolled up there the other day in my old neighborhood, turned the wrong corner. Them fellas, everybody looked around. I was like, yep, put it in reverse, time to get up. We're heading out, right? I pulled up in there, and it's a rough spot. Well, this woman would come with her Bible all by herself, walking up in the ghetto. People dealing drugs and doing every type of thing, whatever it was they were doing, this woman would come up in there, and no one would ever mess with this woman. And they got to talking, to someone at some point, and said, y'all see that woman come up in here? She has a dog next to her this high. Says everyone seen the dog, no one wanted to mess with her. The woman didn't have a dog. They said the dog was this high. It was a huge thing. And it scared people to death. Folk would just leave her alone. They'd cross the street and walk on the other side. But she never saw the dog. She never saw it. But other people saw it. And no one messed with her. She would come into the church, preach the gospel, hand out tracts, turn around and leave. And all that time, there was this. You say, Pastor, are there dog angels? You're asking the wrong person. I don't know, but I tell you what, I seem to remember a donkey talking in the Old Testament. Brother, if a donkey can talk, I believe that, there's whatever God wants it to be, whatever he wants it to be, it will be there. So these angels showed up. I'm saying all this just simply to point this out, that there are two camps, church. Remember that. Double cams. You're not alone. God is with us. And he acts through his angels on our behalf. Amen. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of scripture. Thank you, O God, that your presence goes with us. You said that I would be with you forever. I would never leave you. I will never forsake you. Father, we thank you, O God, for two camps. We thank you, O God, for the angels who move about, Lord, who carry out your bidding, O God, unbeknownst to us. Lord, where we don't even see it, yet we see the effects, O God, and we know that your faithfulness is sure over our lives. Father, I pray, Lord, that your will would come to pass in our lives as we live out this week. Father, that we would remain anchored in Christ Jesus, that our faith would remain steadfast and sure, O God, and that, Lord, we would constantly be mature, transformed, and conformed into the image of Jesus the Christ, our Savior. Father, we ask your blessing upon our marriages, upon our homes, Lord, that upon all of our relationships, that you would be glorified therein. We ask it in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you real good.